Good morning. It is 9 o'clock, January 21, 2022. This is, I made it through that one.
1-21-22.
Yeah. This is a meeting, a budget meeting with the Board of Supervisors and Story County Auditor. This is Supervisor Latifah Faisal. With me is Supervisor Lisa Heddens, Supervisor Linda Merkin, Story County Auditor Lucy Martin, Director of External Operations Sandra King, Assistant Auditor Lisa Markley. And could you say your titles? I'm not sure what your titles are. I'm so sorry.
Deputy Auditors.
Deputy Auditors. Mm-hmm. Kevin Norris. I'm so sorry. I completely blank on names. It's so terrible.
Rhonda Sykes.
Rhonda Sykes. Thank you, Rhonda. I apologize. I should just write everything down because I know people. I just
don't know.
I sit there in my mind and I say, don't forget, and then forget. It happens every time.
It's easy for us because you guys have names.
Yeah. Okay. Well, shall we just get started with revenues?
Yeah. Good morning, board. I have with me today my management team here, and I know our offices work closely together. We appreciate the working relationship we have with you and your staff. So, Lisa Markley, carrying us all like a sack of groceries through this process, and then Rhonda and her team work on property taxes, which keeps the lights on around here, and Kevin and his crew keeping three of their elections running smoothly in Surrey County. So I do appreciate it for my staff. Since I submitted my budget, we have lost an employee. We are down one right now. We're pretty confident we can stick to our schedule and have a replacement in place by mid-month in February. That's our goal. But, you know, it was a good opportunity for Brittany. And so we wish her well, but never fun to be in the job search, but here we are. our revenues, very easy to go over. We are not a revenue-producing entity. We did have the city school election this current fiscal. And so that is something where we can charge out to the taxing entities for any general election. So like the primary election we're going to have this fiscal year, general election next year, those are elections that the county pays for. Elections held by cities or schools, those entities pay for. If the state calls special election, say when somebody resigns to become a county supervisor, then that we also pay for that type of election. So
did that happen?
Sometimes that happens. So our revenues tend to look really lumpy. 2020 kind of, or I guess last fiscal year, because we got CARES money and some private grant money to help with additional expenses of the presidential election, we had more revenues in a year where we don't normally see revenues. Usually we're pretty reliably spiky and kind of had that little bump there. So our 3-year averages might look a bit off. The combination of the city school election has made those elections more expensive. So you can see a rise in revenue there. We just have one previous year to show there, but we are seeing an increase in costs there. mostly due to the fact we open more precincts and we open for the poll time period, where a lot of school districts opened at noon and had one poll in place. So otherwise, you know, our drawer usually contains $20. We do sell flat books. They seem to be a little less popular with the advent of our Beacon website. Is a really good resource. A lot of people use that. Google Maps, things like that. People just do a lot of things online. I still prefer paper map. I don't know, maybe once, I guess just over time we'll probably see less interest in physical handheld map, but they're still pretty popular.
Being one of your primary customers, do you still have the newest one?
Yeah, That's a Rhonda question.
And what was the question?
Do you still have some of the latest ones?
Yes.
Okay, I'll be over and get one. I like paper maps,
so
too.
So we did move to just printing that every other year. Mm-hmm. When we see foot traffic for a big election, we often get more requests for that. We try to time it with our walk-in traffic. We do sell election lists and maps, and then a daily absentee list. So, but that's usually, you know, maybe a couple hundred dollars in any fiscal year. So we do keep some funds in there. We are the fiscal agent for CICS and Root. Also, photocopies and fax. Most things now that we use to photocopy or fax people, we scan and email for free. So we do see, we basically make change for transactions under a dollar. If you need quarters or nickels, we're probably the office to go to. So I don't know if you have any questions about our revenue. Special elections, that's just a swag number, as we would call it, where we, whatever you see on the revenue side is offset by what you mm-hmm. see on the expense side. So we always see 15,000 there. Sometimes it's more.
I don't have any questions.
I don't either.
I don't either.
Okay. We're having, on the expense side, a very sort of static year. At least in this budget, we do have the purchase of new election equipment in the CIP budget, and that is on track.
For this fiscal year.
Or we'll split it over the two fiscal years, maybe, if we can, depending on if delivery.
That's budgeted in countywide, so when we get to countywide, we'll maybe talk about the funding.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But I appreciate this board and previous boards for recognizing that this is something that we have to do probably every 6-7 years, and that fund balance has been set aside, so it's not just like, because it's about $500,000 or more.
Mm-hmm.
From my reprecincting ordinance, we have gained a precinct in Surrey County, so we have purchased already additional poll pads to cover this. We have one more precinct, but we have more urban precincts where we need more poll books. So we've got 22 new poll books to go with our, to match our need. We did consolidate some rural areas into Nevada as well, so where they have two poll books, they will not have four. So that's really not in this budget at all. That's just so you know, that's something that we're working on. Overtime, if you want to go down to that, when we have a general election, we need more overtime because we have statutory Saturdays, and also just with the increase, I think, in interest in voting here in the office, which is a lot of my staff is maxed out on vacation and will offer overtime as well. So, I mean, I have a really good staff that's been here for a long time. Even though most of them don't work at elections, they're really good election workers, but most of them are in the overtime category.
Mm-hmm. That's actually a significant less in overtime than you had in 21.
Well, it's a gubernatorial, so it's just not the same spike usually.
Yeah, because it's more like you're 19.
Every 4 years, I mean, elections is really, and we guess as well as we can, right?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
The things we worry about tend to be the things that are fine, and then something else like COVID that we didn't have in our mix. So That's just looking at previous like elections. I don't know how like elections are anymore since the code has changed so rapidly and so consistently. We'll see. Brings down the office supplies. We're keeping that flat. Same with election supplies and forms. Postage and mailing is going down because this year we're anticipating countywide mailing to do with the change in polling places, so that's in our budget. And then also is NCOA in there as well. There's some statutory mailings that we have to do to the state. For training, that's also on a cyclical schedule, so some years we have more training needs than others. We have more training availability. All of my staff at this point in time is SEET certified. Kevin is also CIRA certified, which is a national certification for election administrators. So we have continuing ed, and then in the odd number years, core training as needed. So the new person that we bring on board will go through that training as well. Communications got down per what Barb has given us phone lines. I think we also giving up our traditional fax line for something cheaper. And then the big hit on the election side is always having a general election in there, which you will only see every other year. I should say, if it's not abundantly clear from how this is laid out, we have an election side of the budget and then we have a management side of the budget. So I don't know if you have any questions about the election expenses. Not, I move on to the management side. Office supplies are going up. There. Lisa, do you remember why that's true?
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
I need for a second. That's okay.
Okay.
Is that?
Because we're going to do plat books again.
Plat books. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. I should read my own narrative.
You should.
I'm just looking at my mind. And mostly I remember stuff. Okay. So that includes the first year of the plat books. That's really the only sort of significant lift in that budget. So, like I say, it's pretty flat across the board. No surprises in there, no big new news in this budget. We will have a new person, that should be not have any budgetary impact.
The person we're hiring is actually paid from half and half. Half their duties are real estate related, half their duties are election related. They get split out half and half. That's the only half and half we have in our office.
I don't know, Marlon, Kevin, Lisa, if you have any questions. Never a dull moment in the auditor's office. I talked about that mailing to all voters. We're still waiting for more guidance from the state about how to implement our redistricting and reprecincting in the statewide database. And then once that's done, we'll figure out, is it, are they leaving counties on their own? 10 years ago, they coordinated a statewide mailing, but we haven't heard anything about that yet.
So the March 2nd election, special election.
March 1st,
I'm sorry. Is in the old.
Well, it's a school district election, and those boundaries don't change.
Okay.
So it's, luckily we don't have like a ward election in Nevada or Ames.
Okay.
Or any election in Nevada or Ames. Yes, we have a March 1st special for Rolla Story School District. We'll open two vote centers, one in Story City and one in Rolla. But school district boundaries, although some people think they change when we do this, they don't change. The only thing that the school districts do as a result of the census is, not this summer, but next summer, they will if they have director districts, they will redraw those lines. Mm. Right? It's the summer of 23.
Yeah, they're just 1 year. There's a 1 year gap. Between the precinct, pre-district, and the school district.
So, and that's done strictly by the school districts. We do have several school districts that have director districts, but those, they all run at large. They just, it's a residency requirement.
Mm.
So, if anyone asks you, oh, did my school district boundaries change with redistricting, then you say that they never change unless the districts themselves decide to change them, or if what happens on Iowa is districts get consolidated because of lack of population, so, which we see a lot in the more rural counties. I mean, some school districts are now in, I think, four different counties.
I don't have any questions for you.
I do not either.
I don't either.
Alyssa, any questions?
I don't. Pretty straightforward, easy.
Yeah, this one is a very exciting year, which I will absolutely take. So.
All right. Well, thank you.